a very short introduction of our guest speaker this morning to talk about women in Islam. Hira Zahid will speak about her experiences as a Muslim woman. Hira is a student at the University of Regina and is the Vice President, External Affairs, in the University of Regina Muslim Students Association. Hira.
Hello, everyone. Just give me 1 second. I'm good. How are you? Okay, I just have some notes here, so, and I'm gonna just try doing this. Just give me 1 second. All right. So, I'm gonna talk to you guys today about women in Islam, and also connected a little bit to living in a Western society and how that is a challenge in itself. So, to begin, I'll start with telling you guys a little story about a journey for me that was really difficult, and that was of when I started wearing the hijab. Pam, you've heard part of this before. So when I was young, my parents had never really enforced hijab, my mom didn't wear it, and so I didn't have enough knowledge coming from the people around me. So my experience with it was just that it's mandatory after a certain age that you should be wearing it. So when I was in high school, I started thinking about it, and I was like, okay, maybe this is something I want to take part in. Maybe I should, you know, wear it because it's mandatory. I didn't do any research on it, but I just remember really struggling at that time. When you're in high school, you're young, your peers, everyone influences you a lot. At least for me, that was the case, and I felt like in a Western society, I wouldn't feel a part if I did. So when university time came around, that summer, I had really started considering that, you know, I'm going into a new stage, there's a lot more people at university, I'll be able to meet a different crowd, and they'll be introduced to me as somebody wearing a headscarf. So I thought, okay, this is a nice change, maybe I'll implement it now. I didn't really look into why the hijab was enforced, why it was something that we should do, like, according to religion. And so that summer, I met a girl who went to my high school, who I didn't know that well. We ran into each other at a wedding. And I told her, I was like, you know, I'm thinking about this, I'm a little nervous. And then she told me a different side, where she said that she really doesn't want to, and her family's really pushing her to start wearing the hijab when she goes to university. And I remember talking to her about it, and she said, you know, I'm going to have a discussion with my family about it, that, you know, I'm not ready yet. And so we encouraged one another on our different views about it. And what happened was, throughout that summer, I just kept thinking about it. I talked to my family about it. They're really encouraging. So I decided that I was only going to wear it to university and not wear it anywhere else, so that I could get used to wearing it at one place and then hopefully eventually be able to get the confidence to wear it everywhere else. So first day of school, the night before the first day of university, I called one of my best friends and I told her that, you know, I'm starting to do this. If you see me tomorrow, I look a little different. That's why. So she said to me, okay, let's start together, because I've been thinking about it throughout the whole summer and I didn't talk to anybody about it. And if we do it together, we can encourage one another through this. So I thought, university is a good place. It was a lot more multicultural compared to my high school. I grew up in Thornhill in Ontario, and there's not that many Muslims who live there. So I felt a little intimidated at that point in my life, but university I knew was going to be a little bit more diverse. So I thought, okay, this is a place, this is a good start. So both of us started wearing it. And during lunchtime on the first day, I ran into that girl who I had met at the wedding. And she didn't wear hijab. She, you know, talked to her family about it. She explained that, you know, at some point in my life, if I feel comfortable, I will. Just right now isn't the time for me. And she's with a group of friends, and I have been avoiding anybody from my high school the whole day because I was really nervous that they're going to think I look really different or ask questions that I don't have answers to. And I was just, the whole idea of it was like really overwhelming as an 18-year-old. And so I ran into the girl. She was the only girl I felt confident enough besides my best friend to go and be like, you know, I finally was able to give myself the courage to do it. So she's standing with a group of friends, and I said, hey. And she says, hi. And the first thing that she said to me, okay, I won't use the harsh terms that she used, but she said, she's like, your hijab looks really, really bad. And she used it, I'm not kidding when I say this, and as an 18-year-old, you get nervous by that, you're intimidated. I was already the whole day very aware that it's on my head, and I felt like anytime anybody looked at me, the first thing that they were noticing probably was the headscarf. And when she said that, I lost my confidence. A little bit of confidence that I maybe had built throughout like the day was all gone. And I thought to myself, like, I don't want to do this anymore. And anyways, I didn't say anything to her. I was just so nervous about everything that just happened. You kind of get caught off guard because people usually aren't that blunt. Like maybe you think it inside, but you saying it to the person's different. So I went to my other friend, the friend that had started wearing the hijab with me. I told her what happened, and she said that that's one person. Don't be discouraged by that, you know. And I said that she's a reflection of what other people think. If she is open enough to say this to me, there's definitely people out there who are thinking this, right? And my friend said, you know, don't bring yourself down because of one thing. And so what I did was, then I felt uncomfortable to take it off. So I decided, okay, I'm just going to wear it to university and nowhere else. Because now people have seen me in university wearing it. So that's where I found my comfort zone. So the 2 years that I was at York, I wore it there. And it was really interesting. The second I would take that bus home and come home, I would take it off. And then anytime I would go to university, I'd put it on. So it was a really, it was weird living almost like a dual life where you can't decide, you can't build that confidence in you. What happened was, 2 years later, I decided I was going to move to Regina. My brother and sister already lived here, and my sister wore a hijab. So I thought, okay, you know what? Now's the time. New city. No one from my high school. No one I know. Today's going to be the time. So, but I was really nervous. Like, I had that fear still playing in my head about it. And I realize now that a lot had to do with the fact that I didn't learn about why we even wear hijab. I was just doing it because I thought, okay, it's mandatory. So I came to Regina, and I wore it the first day, and I wore it the first week. And then I called my dad. I was like, I feel really uncomfortable. I told him, I cannot even raise my hand up in class to answer a question that I know because I just feel like no one's listening to what I have to say. The judgment is just based on that. And my dad said to me, he's like, listen, question what's in your heart? Do you have pure intentions? Do you think good for people? Do you think good for yourself? If that's the case and you're a good human being inside, then and you don't feel comfortable right now, then don't wear it. So he gave me really encouraging advice. And he told me a really funny story. Okay, so my dad, my whole life, has had a mustache. This is a bit of a tangent, but it'll help explain what he was trying to get across to me as a child. And he told me that a few years ago, he decided that, okay, I'm going to shave the mustache off and see what I look like. And so he shaved the mustache off, and my mom was freaking out. She's like, I cannot recognize you. You do not look like my husband. I feel like this is a different human being altogether. And so when he was going to work the next week, he's like, I felt so unconfident about going into a space where I wasn't the usual me, right? He's like, any change that comes in your life, in the beginning, it's going to be a little difficult. But have that confidence to continue it through. Have that confidence that it'll be okay. And he's like, I knew that in 2 weeks it would grow back, it would be fine. And he's like, I understand that hijab is a really big change. Hijab is something that people do notice you by, do recognize you by. So he's like, you know what, take it off right now. And there's going to come a point in your life where you're going to feel more comfortable, maybe. And leave it till that. So a week into university at Regina, I took it off. And I went through about a year without wearing it. And then I started meeting people, a lot of girls who wore hijab. And I started asking them, like, why do you guys wear hijab? What gives you the confidence to be able to do it in a Western society, to be able to do it with people around you who don't, right? And they told me, look into what hijab is. Look into how liberating it actually could be. Because I was telling Joanne this earlier that it comes off a lot that it's a form of oppression, and it comes off a lot like it's a form of controlling women. And that was a part that scared me. I didn't want to be associated with that, even though I knew the decision was my own if I ever did want to. So I looked into it, and the reason why hijab was enforced in Islam was to be a form of modesty. Now, I understand modesty is really subjective. to different people, it can mean different things. But because I did have a faith that I was following strongly enough, and they gave me an easy way to get that form of modesty in my life and have people meet me. And at this point, I started to realize that maybe people would meet me and get to know my personality rather than just the appearance that I'm portraying. So to me, it was the exact opposite of oppression. To me, it was a form of liberation, right? And I took this feminism class that year. I was in sociology as my first undergrad. And in that class, that professor was saying that way too often we have feminists who say that it's a form of oppression, and that women who wear it are forced to, or women who wear it don't get to express, you know, their beauty, or they're doing it for the sake of men. And I started thinking that me and that professor had a conversation, and she said to me that I think that in our society, we should be able... What is feminism? It's about being liberated. It's about being equal. It's about making your own decisions and being okay with that, right? And so I thought to myself, then anyone who wears a headscarf, or a man who wears a turban, or somebody who has a beard, anything that you choose to do, you should be able to do for the sake that we have this sort of equality, that we can represent ourselves the way we want to represent ourselves. And that really got to me. So those few things, the aspect of modesty, the fact that this is actually liberating to me, isn't a form of oppression to me, and that maybe I can now, by meeting people, express this to them, that this is actually a form of liberation for me. I really got the confidence, and that's when it was exam time at the end of my first year of university, and I didn't need to wait for exams to finish, for the next semester to start. I had enough confidence in me that time that I know the real reasons why I'm doing it. And I know that I live in a society like Canada, which is so accepting. And no matter where you go in the world, you're going to find people who won't be accepting of certain things, and that's okay. You need to still express your religion, your culture, your belief system confidently. The same way other people do, right? And that to me is really what Canada is about, is what our society is about, and how we should be, how I want our society to work towards. So that year, I started wearing the hijab, and it was a completely different experience when I had my own values attached with it. I stopped thinking that if I put my hand up, people are going to look at me or judge me. I stopped thinking that the first thing that people notice about me is that. I started realizing that I feel so much more confident now, knowing the true reasons and doing it wholeheartedly as to why it's meant in the religion, and as to why it's meant for me personally, so important. So that being said, I started trying to find ways of seeing what women are like in Islam, and whether or not it's liberating, whether or not it's meant for that purpose. And I started seeing little aspects of the religion that were showing me that there's been given so much respect in our religions. And we all come, at least here I think, from, or most people of different religions, all have a belief system that you should let people express how they'd like to, There should be that freedom. And to me, so many religions are about respecting one another, respecting people, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to become that person who would be that for you, for all the people around me, for anyone I meet, and then I wanted that reciprocated, because I think the way you act in front of someone is the way you're going to get it back. So that was my little journey of getting towards wearing the hijab, and I think that's when I started learning other aspects of being a woman in Islam, and realizing that in any religion there may be parts that'll be challenging in the beginning, and you have to kind of look into the deeper meaning behind it. And the aspect of modesty really, really clicked with me, because it was that I want people to get to know me as who I am inside, what my personality is. And even if somebody first meets me and thinks differently of me because I'm wearing a headscarf, maybe through conversation they'll realize that I'm just like anyone else, and that inside is really what matters, especially when you're living in a society like this. So the way I guess I want to conclude my talk is that I hope that we can reach a state in Canada and around the world where we can all respect each other's beliefs, we can all understand what it's like being a Christian woman in a Western society, or being a Sikh woman or a Sikh man in a Western society, being a Muslim woman in a Western society. And yeah, that's it really for today. And if you guys have any questions, please let me know.
Check. There we go.
We like the questions and answers.
You mentioned that wearing the hijab is not mandatory. It's a matter of modesty. You are not compelled to wear it then. It's a matter of your own decision. One of the ladies when I was overseas was our guide. She was a Muslim lady. She was not wearing hijab. She mentioned, oh, I should have been wearing my hijab because I have just gone to Mecca. What did that mean?
Yes. So in Mecca, we believe that is, if you guys have ever seen the black cube, that's the house of God for Muslims. And so over there, as a form of respect, every woman wears a hijab. Now, through my understanding throughout the years is that I think I may have been misinterpreted, but it is a mandatory part of Islam. A lot of women don't by choice. There's a difference of opinion in the reading of the Quran for that that portion. So some people believe that it's not mandatory, some people believe it is. But when you go to the house of God, because it's a mosque, you're expected to wear it like in a mosque. So that may be why she said that.
I have got one short question, one longer one. It is Turkey speaking for a large religion like Islam. I was going to ask what version of Islam you're speaking for.
So like,
that's my second question is, how does a modern Muslim woman wearing a hijab or not, how do you view women in any society who are forced to totally, okay, I said forced, who totally cover their faces and bodies right down to below their ankles and walk around with men with big long beards. How do you feel about that? Or how do you see that as a, I don't know.
So your first question, so I follow Sunni Islam. And so that's the sect, I guess, I'm speaking on behalf of. And for your second question, so when I went to Mecca this summer and I did the pilgrimage, and I have a cousin who lives there, and she wears like a niqab, which is essentially head to toe. She's just her hands, her feet, and her eyes are showing. And I asked her, well, she asked me, she's like, why don't you wear a headscarf? Why don't you wear a niqab? And I said that that's not a mandatory part of the religion. And to me, that's not a form of modesty. I feel like you can get modesty in different aspects. And, I feel like that's just people who, I guess, have a different level of faith or a different understanding of the religion, they wear it. And so she, and then I asked her, I was like, why do you wear it? And she says that the part of the Quran that talks about the hijab actually talks about, you know, a jilbab, which is what she's wearing, which means like a niqab, that you're covering your everything but your eyes, hands, and feet. And to me, that should be a personal choice, because there is a difference of opinion on that, and a strong difference of opinion on that. Very few sects within Sunni Islam believe that you need to do that. So I guess for her, that's a personal choice, or the sect that she follows may enforce that. So to me, it's a personal choice of whether you want to. I don't think it needs to. I personally do not think it's a mandatory part of the religion, from my understanding.
Did she feel any cultural pressure, though, to do it?
Did
she really have choice?
So she grew up in Pakistan, and she never did there. And she, in Pakistan, started learning about, I guess, a more, actually extremely more conservative version of the religion, the sect that she was beginning to follow from her own teachings, and she chose to move to Mecca for that reason, that she wanted to be able to practice her religion openly, which she felt like she wasn't able to do in Pakistan because the women in Pakistan don't wear niqab. So for her, it was a personal choice, although I don't deny it, there are many women who it isn't a personal choice. When you live in a place like Saudi Arabia, it's not as easy. There's an enforcement there that's very different than the rest of the world, and for them, I feel like there are women out there who wear it not by choice, but she wasn't one of them.
Another question.
I have a couple of questions. The first one is, I assume there are times when you wear it and times when you don't. Like probably don't wear it around the house.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about different interpretations, I suppose, because I have been in situations where I've been with a large group of Islamic women mm-hmm. who just ditched the hijabs totally when in presence of women.
Yeah.
But I know others who still, you know, insist on wearing their hijab in front of women who are not Islamic.
Oh, interesting.
Now, that's the first question. The second question is, are there any rules for men?
Yes, okay. Good question. So I'll start with your first question. The ruling is that from the navel to the knee is what you have to be covered in front of another woman. And that's anyone who is Muslim or non-Muslim. That's the ruling. So women should technically be able to, like when we have just a women's party, then they open their hair, they dress, you know, the way that, whatever way they want to. As long as that part is covered. So I think that may just be someone's like personal opinion to do that, or a way of just representing their religion continue to. I'm not sure exactly why someone would choose that, but me personally, anyone who's a female, I would feel comfortable enough to just, you know, be a little bit more open. And then your second question was...
About men.
Yes. So for men... And a lot of men, I'm sure, don't do this, but they have to have their ankles showing, and they're supposed to wear a beard. They're supposed to have a beard. They're supposed to not cut their beard, and they're supposed to trim their mustache. Now, there's no true difference of opinion on this, but a lot of people don't do it. As times evolve, as times change, like people let go of things, people choose to follow apart or choose not to follow apart. Religiously, they're supposed to. But they just don't. And I think for them, I don't know if it's a form of modesty as much as it is just so somebody can know that you're a Muslim, so that you're able to identify them as a Muslim, even though there's other people who also have beards. But usually you can tell just by the particular way that they do it, just, you know, completely letting it grow and then shaving your mustache. But that's their ruling on...
Without a mustache.
It's supposed to be like lightly shaven, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's the ruling on it.
Thank you.
No problem.
You might get confused with an Orthodox Jew.
Oh, I'd just like to know a little bit more about modesty.
Yeah.
What does that really constitute? What is the basis for this kind of belief in modesty?
Mm-hmm. So, to me, to understand that, I had to go back to when this was all revealed. Okay, so at that time, for them, women who followed the other Abrahamic religions, from my understanding of the interpretation of the Quran, is that they covered most of their head anyways, and they just tied the hijab in the back. And then an ayah in the Quran was revealed that said that pull it to the front so that your chest is covered as well. So they asked about the modesty aspect of it, and it was more that there are things that beautify you, and hair is a strong part of that. And it was understood that you cover your hair as a form of modesty so that you can keep that for the people who truly know you, so your family, your husband, your father, your brothers, your uncles, anyone who actually is a part of the rulings of people who can see your hair. Again, I do, like I mentioned during my talk, I think modesty is subjective, and why, to to me it made sense was that because I was already following a religion that had an aspect that was showing me a form of modesty, it was easier to follow that than to have to find my own form of it. Otherwise, like, I don't know if I'm knowledgeable enough to completely answer the question, but it's hard to say. I know modesty is something that's subjective, and that to, in a different society, it's different. Like, if you go out in Saudi Arabia with your hair in a place like Mecca or Medina with your hair open, there's a large portion of the population that's going to just watch you and think that it's not modest. And then if you did that in a Western society, it's not the same thing. So that's why it's really hard to say exactly what, in today's society, what is modesty. But the reasonings from that time, I guess, kind of made sense to me. Yeah. I'm not sure if that answers your question well enough, and I also feel like I may not be knowledgeable enough for this. But...
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Thanks. I would just like to ask, and this may not be a simple question, but you've grown up in Canada, so as an adult student in Regina, I'll just keep it to that place, have you had experiences where people not of Muslim faith were very hateful to you, or where you've been targeted, I guess? Mm-hmm. And if you have, you know, what kind of a response is appropriate for you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good question. So I think I've been blessed, not too often. And I think the people in Regina are amazing, so... That's my judgment towards that. But I'll tell you about two situations that I felt probably the most uncomfortable with. I used to work at Starbucks. And over there, I am the only female who wears a hijab. And I had a gentleman who came, and he made a little comment about, you shouldn't be wearing this if you're choosing to live here. And now I'm in a workplace over there, so there's a reaction that has to come that's most appropriate for that. So I did tell him, the only thing I said back to him was that we live in a multicultural society today where a lot of people dress and act in different ways, that I personally think it's okay if I do. And I don't think that's a valid enough reason for me to have to move back to the country that I originally came from. And he just made another comment about how I need to learn a little bit more about what Canadian society is like. And I honestly think sometimes the only reaction that you can have to someone like that is just be kind. Just be kind. Because maybe the only thing that may change his perception is that. If I give him, or anyone for that matter, a reaction that's the same or is of anger, it's not going to help the situation. His opinion's not going to change. So that was the one time. And then there was a second time. I was at South Walmart, and there was a family there, and me and my sister and another friend, all three of us wore hijab, and we were standing in line next to them. And well, they were standing in line in front of us, and we were after them. And the lady said to the man that, move the kids to the front. There's unsafe people behind us. And me and my sister looked at each other and were like, okay. So then we thought, instead of making them feel uncomfortable, we'll just move to the next line. So we moved to the next line. But the whole time that we were in that line, that lady stared us down, and she almost intentionally, I guess I would say, moved the kids behind her. And anytime they would peek, she would like cover their eyes. And I thought that was really interesting. I didn't say anything to them, to be honest. I didn't think there was a purpose behind it. I thought sometimes it's better not to say anything. And sometimes if you do have that interaction, I think the best reaction is to just be kind. That's the only thing that may change their perception one day. But that being said, I also understand that there have been people who have been raised in a certain way, and it may be difficult for them to accept this. And if I was raised in Pakistan, for example, my perception of all this may have been completely different. So the people that surround you, your upbringing, whatever the case may be, affects this. So even blaming that man is difficult because I have no idea what his teachings around him may have been. So the only way that I can educate him on my behalf is to be kind back. So that's the only two times I think I've ever faced it. But besides that, thankfully, it's been good.
A few days ago, Tunisia allowed women Muslims to be married with non-Muslims.
Okay.
What do you think about it?
That's a really interesting question. So, Islamically, in Sunni Islam, men are allowed to marry anyone from the Abrahamic religions, and my assumption is that that's because the idea is that the kids will have his last name, so they'll be still Muslim. And women are only allowed to marry Muslim men. So, based on that, like, I don't truly have an opinion about it. Like, I know people personally who've done the same, and they're still my friends. There's no change between me and them. But I think, legally, that's important that everyone has that right. So, I think that's a good thing.
So I never get chance to travel with a Muslim woman with a niqab who can see only the eyes.
Yeah.
How at the airport control works? How at the airport when they are doing safety control?
Oh, yes.
About identity? Or how they can, you can see only his eyes. How can identify that woman is really on the photo is the same woman?
So when I was growing up, my dad's opinion on that kind of stuck with me a little bit. He said that when you're going through something like that, which is security that's meant for people's safety, there's a true reason, then for that purpose you should be taking it off. A lot of countries now, from my understanding, do have a female security inspector who takes you to the side and you can take everything off in front of her and they can inspect a little better. I hope that's a change that they implement a little bit more so that, implement everywhere so that the women who do wear niqab feel comfortable enough. But besides that, because it is something that has a difference of opinion, I think that when you're going to something like security, where people's safety is now being at risk because you don't know who's underneath that niqab, I think it's important that you need to take it off or something like that. Yeah.
Hi, I've got another question.
Yeah.
It's the kind of questions we're addressing here are kind of cultural issues for, I guess, Muslim women in Canada. And when I look at the world, I see massive oppression of Muslim women in Muslim countries. Saudi Arabia, you name it, you know, Pakistan. I mean, were you wanting to talk about, you know, women in these countries and their lives? Because in the Western press and the Western perception, it's hell, right? Like, it's totally second class. It's not just they can't marry originally, they can't do almost anything. They can't move around without men, chaperones, blah, blah. They can't get education. Those are the bigger issues. I don't know if that's pertinent, but that's...
Yeah. Okay. So, because I haven't... Okay, in Western media, you hear a lot. And you hear a lot about that oppression. And even as a Muslim, it makes you question the validity of that. So, looking into it, from my understanding, the religion doesn't have this as a part of it. These are people who claim to be following the religion in an extreme form, who are doing a very horrible job at that, and who are creating this oppression. So, there's a difference between Muslims and there's a difference between Islam. So Muslims are the followers of that religion. So if, to me, it becomes very difficult when in the media you only hear the perception of what Muslims are doing wrong. And I agree those Muslims are doing, are creating a form of oppression for women that's wrong, that needs to be changed in countries like that. And because I don't live there and because I don't know the truth of the societies that are there, it's very hard for me to comment on that part. But I do know that because of all that, my research of the religion is that none of this is a part of the religion. The oppression that those women face is not a part of the religion. It's a form of people with time building up another thing, misinterpreting the Quran, because the Quran is written in Arabic. And to understand it, you can't just read a translation. To understand it, you need to know when it was revealed, the context that it was revealed in. Some ayahs of the Quran have been revealed first and then a problem in society was seen, and then another ayah about the same topic was released, revealed, changing the ruling on that. So there are people who misinterpret it, there are people who misread it, and follow the religion in a brutal way. I guess I can't truly comment on it because I don't know what the women there actually face, but from my understanding, that what they do face, and I do think that Western media portrays it a little bit more extreme, the same way that we do about media. Media is about hype. They like knowing things that are going to create interest, and it's portrayed in a way that may be different for the women there. If you really, I think for us to truly know what those women face is to go and speak to them, go do a study over there, ask them about their oppression, ask them how they feel about it, ask them if they feel like they're oppressed. Because our version of oppression and their version of oppression may be different. The same way they may think over here, I saw this post one time, and there was a cartoon that somebody had made, and there was a lady in a niqab, and then there was a lady wearing like a bathing suit, and in both their heads they had like those little bubbles that they're thinking, and she said the lady wearing the burqa was thinking that she's wearing such little clothing, she's so oppressed. And the lady who's wearing the bathing suit looked at the lady who's covered, and she's saying, oh, she's wearing so much clothing, she's so oppressed. So I think it's a little bit unfair for us to just see from far away over here and make that judgment. It's more about go there, speak to the women there, speak to how they feel about it. And maybe they've been raised in a way to believe that it's not oppression, right? It's hard to truly know. But I don't know if I could really comment on it either, because I've grown up here, yeah.
One last question.
Yeah.
My question kind of relates to Joanne's about negative opinions, but more about law enforcement. And this is coming from my personal experience of enjoying wearing headscarves. They're great and have multiple uses. Mm-hmm. But I know when I get in my car, I get pulled over way more if I'm wearing what people call my Irish washerwoman look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm wondering about that, and if men that you're around have experienced that kind of oppression because of their long beard or something.
Not in Regina. I haven't heard of anything in Regina. I've heard a few friends speak about it in Toronto, which is a little bit more shocking because I feel like it's a little bit more diverse, that have been pulled over or gone through security check more. In fact, even in Regina, I have a friend here who, she wears a full abaya to university. She wears like a proper headscarf. Like she looks, I guess, lack of better terms, more Muslim than I do, maybe. And she's been pulled over every single time that she's gone to the airport. So in terms of like police around the city, I've never noticed that. But in terms of flights, definitely. My brother himself, and he doesn't even, like he sometimes has a beard, he sometimes shaves it off, so it's different. But he's noticed that the times that he's had a beard, he's had a more thorough checking than if he hasn't. So that is a part of the reality of it, yeah.
Thank you very much, Ira. That was very enlightening, really, truly.
Thank you.